Getting to know God daily. The purpose of the quiet time. Now, I'd like for someone to give me your definition of what is a quiet time.
Me, I just spend time in the morning reading God's Word, praying for the day, praying for my family.
Okay. Arthur, is that what you take? All right. Thank you. Just the time of being in the Word and praying. Praying for your family.
And for, I can try to do that for everyone else while it's still quiet around the house. And, you know, before I go to work.
Okay. That's a good principle of a quiet time right there. Quiet. Okay, someone else.
Becoming one with God.
Okay. How does that take place?
Sit and meditate and read the Word and meditate on what it says.
All right.
And communicating with God and a lot of times just storing up a lot of valuable information and stuff that you don't have any idea that you're going to use.
Okay.
But it's a tool.
It's a tool.
The tool will always work for you if you let God work through you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else have something that they would add to a definition of quiet time?
John, when I started, I looked at that little track, 7 minutes with God. It's laid around for years. And finally I opened it up and organized my quiet time accordingly. And ever since then I've been hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get up usually about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it'll end up being an hour or more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I use the daily walk. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me keep on track. You know, Gene Orr was talking about reading the Bible through each year. I just picked up on that. That's one thing I do. That's part of my daily Bible reading, but I prayerfully read the Word and let the Lord speak to me.
Okay. Thank you.
One verse that I really use routinely out there. It's, you may know it, Psalm 143, verse 8, I think it is. You know that?
No.
It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning,
mm-hmm.
for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk before I lift up my soul in thee. Got that right out of the
book. Good, good. Psalm 143, 8. I'm going to be handing these out at the end of the workshop, as many as, I don't know if I've got enough for everybody in here, but for as many as we've got, I'll try to remind me and I'll post somebody at the door, and as we go out, I'll give you one of these tracks. All right, how many of you are presently having a quiet time? Just show of hands, just, okay, good. The goal of the Christian life is to know God through Jesus Christ, and to become more like Him. That may not be the only goal that we could come up with as we read the Bible of the Christian life, but that is certainly one of the main goals. To know God through Jesus Christ and to become more like Him. Someone read for us there Philippians 3:10 out of the Amplified, please.
For my determined purpose is that I may know Him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of His person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from His resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share His sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into His likeness, even to His death.
For my determined purpose is that I may know Him. And one of the tools, like has already been mentioned here, that we have that we can use to accomplish this goal is the quiet time. A time alone with God each day. Now there are two primary ways, and that has been mentioned this morning as well. Two primary ways to accomplish the goal to spend time each day with God. One is by being in the Word of God, and the other is to communicate with God through prayer. And so those are the two basic things that we're going to be looking at this morning. This period of time is often called the quiet time. That's known by many different names. It's known by the devotional life, daily devotions, morning watch, time alone with God. So the name is not really important, whatever you call your time that you spend with God. Naming it and even knowing it does not mean that we are practicing it. And you know, we've already heard several times in this conference the importance of application, the importance of doing, the importance of following. And you know, my experience is that few people in the Christian realm, while they may know about the quiet time, few people actually practice that on a consistent daily basis. And so that's our desire, is to really challenge you and to encourage you to make that commitment before you leave here this morning. You know, communication is one of the things in a marriage that keeps a marriage right. It keeps the marriage good and healthy. And it's the same way with our relationship with God. Matter of fact, the Bible even compares our relationship with Jesus Christ as the bride to the bridegroom. And, you know, my wife, it would be hard for me to convince my wife that I love her if I never spent any time with her, if I never spent time communicating with her, listening to her, talking to her, and just giving her a portion of my life. And it doesn't matter how many times I say, Suzanne, I love you. If I'm not demonstrating it, if I'm not living that out before her, well, she's not going to tend to believe that I love her. And God is the same way. See, God is the same way. And so He desires us to fellowship with Him, to commune with Him, to get to know Him, to spend time with Him on a daily basis. It's been said that if you spent 15 minutes a day studying about butterflies, that it wouldn't take very long until you would soon become an expert on the topic of butterflies. And, you know, it doesn't take long to get to know God, but it does take a consistency. It does take some time to get to know God. And on the other hand, a few years ago, there was a young future chess player, 13-year-old boy, that said he spends 30 hours a week studying and playing chess. And he said it's not really enough to get to be good, to get to be a champion. And, you know, when we, in our schedules, can't find 15, 20, or maybe up even to an hour, 7 minutes alone with God, when we can't find time each day to spend time with God, then there's something wrong with our priorities. Luke 16:10. Does anyone know that verse? Luke 16:10. Let's just turn to that verse. Luke 16:10. Someone read that for us when you find it.
From the New American. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much.
Okay. He who is faithful in the very little thing, you know, in 10, 15, 20 minutes a day alone with God is a pretty small thing, really. He who is faithful in that very little thing, the very little things of the Christian life, he will be faithful in the big things. But he who is unrighteous in the very little things, unfaithful in the very little things, he's also going to be unrighteous in the bigger things of the Christian life. Have you ever noticed the similarity between the word disciple and discipline? Someone tell me, what's the similarity between these two words?
Disciple means learner.
Okay.
And discipline, you learn to do something.
All right. It's through discipline you learn to do something. Okay. Someone else. What's the similarities between these two words?
Play on words. Put the I in.
Uh huh.
That would do it, wouldn't it? Put the I in. You got discipline.
Here. Okay. Put the I in. All right. All right. That's good. Discipline. Disciple is the root word of discipline. So the two words are connected, and we're not going to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ until we have some disciplines in our lives. It's just a necessary thing that we have to have there. If you, any of you ever been through a Master Life? Anybody been through Master Life? All right, in Master Life, a discipleship program, it's a Baptist program, I think, they have the five disciplines of the disciple's cross. The navigators, the wheel illustration, they have the four spokes of the wheel. And these disciplines are things that we have to have in our lives if we're going to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4:7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. If a man is going to become godly, he needs to have some disciplines in his life. We're familiar with the hand illustration, the discipline of hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, meditating. It's been mentioned several times at the conference so far. We need some disciplines in our lives if we're going to become disciples. Now, this isn't legalism, but these are simply tools to help us to this desired goal to know Jesus Christ, to know God, become more like Him. And so these are the things that God uses in our life. Psalms 42:1. If someone has that verse, would read that for us, and then Psalm 63:1. If someone would read that verse for us, please.
Psalm 42:1, New King James. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord.
As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. That should be our heart. Yeah. He talked about an hour every morning. And he started out, I guess, with 7 minutes. But it's just gotten larger and larger, bigger portion of time. And our hearts need to long after God. Just to know Him, to spend time with Him, just to be in His presence, to be with Him. Psalm 63:1. Someone read that for us, please.
O God, thou art my God, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh yearns for thee. In a dry and weary land where there is no water.
My soul yearns for thee. I thirst for thee, just to be in the presence of God. And that's what the quiet time is about. It's to get us into the presence of God, just spending time with Him. In Colossians 2:5, Paul says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ." Now, in this verse, Paul ties two things together. He ties together discipline and stability of faith. They're linked together by the Apostle Paul. And these disciplines, he calls them good disciplines. I rejoice to see these good disciplines that you have in your life, and the stability of your faith in Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to become disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, then we need to have some disciplines in our life. To neglect having a quiet time is just like saying, I can run my life today without an absolute dependence upon God. All right, let's look at some motivation for quiet time. First of all, it's commanded by God. Exodus 34, verses 2 and 3. Someone read that for us, please.
So be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning, Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain, but neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain.
All right, so be ready by morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me. And this is God speaking to Moses, telling Moses, and this is like what the quiet time is, a time when we present ourselves there to God. So it's taught in the Bible, it's commanded in the Scriptures that God wants us to spend time alone with Him. God desires our fellowship. John 4:23.
But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers.
God seeks men who will worship Him. He wants this time that we come into His presence, present ourselves to Him, communicate with Him, love Him, hear from Him. He desires men who will come into His presence in spirit and in truth. He's seeking those men out. And then also Jesus gave us the example when He was here on earth. Mark 1:35.
While it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed.
Early in the morning, while it was still dark, He arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. Even Jesus, the Son of God, even He felt this need to start His day off in the presence of God, worshiping, praying, communicating, loving God. And the Bible clearly teaches that He is our example, that we are to follow in His steps. All right, the two parts to the quiet time that we've mentioned, the Word of God and prayer, let's all turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Someone may know this passage, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
All right, the positive value of the Word. He mentions four things here that the Word of God is valuable for us. First of all, he mentions doctrine, and in the New American Standard, he uses the word teaching. King James is doctrine. New American Standard is teaching, but the profit that we get from spending time in the Word of God is doctrinal truth. Doctrinal truth. To know what the Bible says, to know what the Bible teaches, to be doctrinally correct. And so we spend time in the Word of God for that reason. The second reason, he uses the word reproof. And that is for God to have the opportunity to express disapproval. Something in our life, something in my life that's not right. As I read the Bible, God speaks to me through the Bible, and He convicts me that the direction I'm going is not the direction He would have me go. And so the Word of God is reproof when we get out of line. And then thirdly, correction. And to be corrected means to be set on the right track. See, I was on the wrong track. I was going in the wrong direction. But the Word of God reproved me, convicted me, and it sets me over on the right track. It shows me how to do what God desires for me to do. And then the fourth thing is instruction, or in New American Standard, the word training. And this is a word that means to show us how to live. And so, doctrinal truth, reproof, God expresses disapproval, correction, He sets us on the right track, and then He shows us how to live. He teaches us through the Word what is right, doctrinal truth, what is not right, reproof, how to get right, correction, and then how to stay right, how to live right, how to please God. And so 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that any time that we are in the Word of God, that it is profitable, that it is good. God says, way to go, well done, amen. To any time that I turn aside and turn to the Bible, it's a profitable time. See, I'm not wasting time. I farm back in Frederick, cattle and wheat, and I get up at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and there's a whole line of things that need to be done. And with cattle, a lot of those things need to be done early, need to be done first thing in the morning. You know, if I'm feeding cattle, they're waiting at the troughs to eat then. And, there's a real tendency to say, I'm too busy. You know, I've got too much to do. I got too many important things that I got to get done today to take 15, 20, or 30 minutes and spend. But the Bible says that this is profitable for us. Anytime we're in the Word of God, that it is profitable. So there's a positive value to the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:2. Turn over there with me if you would. Someone read that verse for us. 1 Peter 2:2.
My newborn babes, long to the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow and respect salvation.
All right, now we see this, what we looked at earlier about this longing in his heart, this desire to spend this, like a newborn babe longs for the pure milk of the Word. We should long, we should hunger for the Word of God. We should desire to be in the Bible. And it's like milk to the babe. And when a newborn baby is born, he doesn't start eating beef steaks. He doesn't start eating cheeseburgers. He starts out with milk, and he moves from the milk to the meat. And that's the way it is in the Christian life. It's like milk to the babe. That's how we get started in the Christian life. That's how we're going to grow and develop spiritually in the Christian life. It's by being in the Word. It's by hearing and reading and studying, memorizing, meditating, and applying, following, obeying the Word of God. And as we make that a pattern, a habit of life, we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually. It's just like milk to the babe. And then Joshua 1:8. Someone know that verse?
This book of the law shall not depart.
Go ahead.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Good success. Do you want to prosper in the Christian life as a disciple? Do you want to have success in your walk with God? Then the Bible says to meditate, spend time thinking about, ruminating, bringing it back up like the cow chews her cud, bringing that back up and chewing that over again, thinking, how does that apply to me? What does that mean? What do I need to do? And as we are in the Word of God, and as it is absorbed by us, And as we are absorbing it, it brings about change in our life. It brings about godliness. It brings about character that conforms to Jesus Christ. Now, as we go through the Bible, as we spend time in the Bible, there's five questions that we need to ask ourselves. This is kind of a little exercise to help the Bible open up to you so that perhaps you can see some things in it that you might not have seen before. Five questions to ask as you read a passage of Scripture. Is there sin for me to confess? So as you take, in your quiet time, you take a short passage of Scripture, maybe a chapter, maybe a few verses. Is there sin for me to confess? Second question to ask, is there a promise for me to claim? Third thing, is there an area for me to change? Is there an area for me to change? Fourth question, is there a command to obey? Is there a command to obey? And then finally, is there an example to follow? Four, is there a command for me to obey? And then is there an example to follow? Second one is there a promise for me to claim? You ask yourself these five questions as you go down through a little passage of Scripture, and it will help you to have the passage opened up. See, application. All right, is there a sin for me to confess? Is there a promise for me to claim? Is there an area for me to change? Is there a command for me to obey? And is there an example for me to follow? It's been said that the Bible is the only book you'll ever read that the author is always present every time you read it. So the Word of God, we begin our day or sometime during the day, we take time out from our schedule and we spend time in the Word of God. The second thing is we spend time in prayer. Now, what is prayer? Someone give me a short definition of what prayer is. Talking with God. Conversing with God. Conversation with God.
Communication.
Fellowshipping with God. Okay? You can't get much simpler than talking with God. And that's what prayer is. It's communication. Simply talking to God. One thing in prayer that perhaps a lot of times we overlook is that in communication, in talking to another people, it's a give and take. You talk a while and you listen a while. You talk a while and you listen a while. And sometimes in our prayer, all we want to do is just talk. But there also needs to be some time when we just simply pause. Now, God speaks to us through the Word. We speak to God through prayer. God speaks back to us through the Word. But He also speaks through the Holy Spirit in just areas as we're praying about, he'll bring things to mind. And so in our prayer time, as we're just wanting to get to know God, we're just wanting to spend time with Him, we just want to begin our day with Him, we need to listen to what He says to us in here as we pray. So why should we pray? Luke 18:1.
Now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart.
They ought to pray. Why pray? Because we ought to pray. The Bible says we ought to pray. So we're commanded to pray. Now there are many other reasons why we ought to pray, but I don't know why we need any more than that, do you? We ought to pray. So let's pray. Let's spend time with God. Let's give God 15, 20, 30 minutes of every day. See, a good discipline, stability of your faith in Christ. Now, I don't know of anybody that I've ever been involved with over the last 20 or so years that I've been trying to walk with God. I don't know of anybody that's been involved in our ministry that has fallen away, that didn't quit having their quiet time. Funny, isn't it?
Sure.
I don't know of anybody that's fallen away that didn't quit memorizing Scripture first, you know, or meditating on the Word of God, or doing Bible study, or reading through the Bible every year. These good disciplines and the stability of your faith in Christ. So, some types of prayer, a little acrostic for you. The word acts. I started praying this way 20 some odd years ago when I became interested in having a walk with God. And someone taught me this little acrostic acts, and I still use this to this day. You know, when I start to pray, I'll just, in my personal time with God, I'll just naturally go down this kind of a little schedule. The A in ACTS stands for adoration or praise. And so we come into the presence of God by praising Him, by lifting Him up, by acknowledging who He is. Psalms 22:3. Someone read that for us, please.
Yet thou art holy, O thou who art enthroned upon the praises of Israel.
Enthroned upon the praises of Israel. As people praise God, God is enthroned in their life. He becomes king. As I worship Him, as I praise Him. You know, I've discovered over the years a lot of our ministry where we're from has been in couples Bible studies in our home. And one of the things that we've tried to do with people is get them to have a walk with God. And so we've tried to teach people how to pray. And oftentimes in Bible study groups, I would teach on prayer, maybe for 2 or 3 weeks, and teach people the different types of prayer. And then we would try to put that into practice in our group. And so as we would start our group, I'd say, now let's spend 5 minutes in praise. You know, and just praise God. And almost without exception, people would begin to pray and they would begin to thank God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for, you know, that I got the house payment made last week. And thank you that the kids got back, you know, on the trip safe. And that's not what praise is. That's thanksgiving. And praise has to do with who God is. It has to do with His character. And so we are saying back to God what we learn about God in the Word. You are the mighty God. You are the everlasting Father. I praise You, Lord, for Your glory, that You are enthroned above all the nations. Has to do with His character, His nature, who He is. I thank You, God, for saving a wretch like me. I thank You that You pulled me up out of the dredges and rescued me like a fire, like a brand plucked from the fire. I thank You for all these things that You've done, but I praise You for who You are. And so we enter into God's presence with praise on our lips. And then the next thing, and you find this over and over in the Scripture, Isaiah sees a vision of the glory of God, and immediately, what does he do? He says, woe is me. And you find this over, and people fall on their knees and fall on their faces, confessing their unworthiness and their sin before God. And it's natural. I mean, it's normal. That's what we normally should do. And so we move into a time of confession. We confess our sins before God. And, you know, not just the blanket insurance policy that covers everything, but let's get specific sins, specific things that we know we've done that have displeased God. Kirk Humphrey spoke Thursday night, and the final point of his message, the C in making it through the long haul, was to cut the cords of sin that entangle us. Cut the cords of sin. And every one of us in this room have areas in our life that are besetting sins. Besetting sin. You know, there's some things, some of you, the things that bother me in my life that I have trouble with, that I just stumble and stumble and stumble with, and just, it just seems like maybe I'll never get the victory. Some of those things, the rest, some of you guys, that doesn't bother you at all. But you have other areas that I don't have trouble in that area at all. But it's just the thing that entwines us, wraps us up, and it just gets tighter and tighter and tighter. And Kirk ended his study by saying, guys, we need to cut the cords of sin in our life. We need to say no to those things. We need to confess those and repent of them day after day after day until we get so sick. The pain is so bad of going to God again and say, God, I did it again. It hurts so much to go day until finally we say, the pain's not worth the pleasure. And I'm going to say no to that sin. And so we come in adoration, then we move into confession. 1 John 1:9 says, right. He is faithful. If we will confess, He is faithful to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:13.
He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy.
Amen. Boy, that is so true. Cover your sin, you won't prosper in a Christian life. You can't go on with God acting like there's nothing wrong with what you know is sin, not dealing with it. But when you bring it out in the open and say, God, this is the way I am. You know, I just can't get the victory over this thing. I have to depend upon you. I have to have your help. Help me. And turn from it. Repent from it. Then we prosper. The third area is thanksgiving. And this is thanking God for the things that He has done. Hebrews 13:15.
Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Giving thanks to His name. The sacrifice of praise and giving thanks to His name for the things that He's done. And then the final thing is supplication. And that's simply a word that means request. We make our request to God. Now, there's two areas in this request. We pray for others. Intercessory prayer, we intercede on behalf of other people. And then we pray for ourselves, for our own needs. Philippians 4:6.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
Present your request to God. Hey, there's nothing wrong with you praying for the needs in your life. We ought to do that. Now, there is something wrong when that's all your prayer consists of. And so we need a balance of all these things as we pray to God. We don't want to be, it's like the wheel illustration. And if you get one spoke that's disappeared in the Christian life, whether it's, prayer or the Word of God, whether it's witnessing or whether it's fellowship, when one spoke disappears or you cut way back and you're not really balanced in your Christian life, that wheel gets out of balance. And it goes, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And so we need to be balanced in our areas of praying as well. The greatest sin of the church is prayerlessness, one man has said. And perhaps that's true. Prayerlessness. All right, some hindrances to quiet time, to an effective quiet time. One hindrance is sleep, the snooze alarm. Y'all have snooze alarms? That button? Mm-hmm. That's progress, I guess, huh? That's the way a lot of progress is. sleep or just simply laziness, just not being willing to... You know, I heard a guy, it might have been John Crawford, I heard a guy speaking one time, and someone asked him, he said, well, you know, he said, like, this man up here, Mac, he gets up at 5 o'clock. I live on the farm, I don't get up at 5 o'clock. But they asked John Crawford, or I think it was John, and he said, how do you make yourself get up at that ungodly hour, you know, to spend an hour with God? And he said, well, he said, I discovered years ago how you do that. He said, I take my left foot and I kick it out of the bed and I place it on the floor. Then I take my right foot and I kick it out of bed and I place it on the floor and I stand up.
My wife hates me for this. And I quit telling her this. getting up in the morning starts the night before.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's the way it is with me.
And that's a lesson that we're teaching our 15-year-old son right now. He wants to stay up and watch Jay Leno, and he's 15 and a half years old, and you know, it's time that he has some freedom and makes some decisions on his own, whether that's what I would have him do or not, but it's what he's decided to do, and so I've let him make that decision. But it, you know, it's 6:30 in the morning, well, it's time to get up, and so he's learning that through the experiences of life. But there's no easy solution to these things. It's Proverbs 6:9. Someone read that for us, please.
How long will you lay there, old slugger?
Let's cut to the chase.
Yes. Let's get right to the point. Second area that's a hindrance to an effective quiet time is just simply being satisfied with your present condition. And saying, well, I'm all right the way I am. You know, I heard a woman say one time, she said, you know, I'm a lot better Christian than I used to be. And that's good enough, was her point. Don't tell me anything else I need to do because, you know, I'm doing a lot better today than I did 10 years ago. Man, if we're not doing a lot better today than we did 10 years ago, we're not growing. We're not disciples. We're not followers of Christ. Satisfied with your present conditions. Revelation 3:17.
For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not knowing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked.
Now, that's how you know when you're in trouble, when you think you're all right. Now, I think I just heard John Crawford say something about fighting pride. Fighting pride and arrogance to the very end. It's the death fight. You know, you don't have it licked till it's completely over. The moment you think you're doing all right in a Christian life, look out.
Also, 1 Corinthians 10:12.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, anyone who
thinks that he stands. Amen. That's right. The third area is not seeking God first, not giving Him first priority in your life. Matthew
6:33.
Seek Him first. Seek His righteousness first. All these other things have a way of taking care of themselves when you have your priorities set right. Priority in our life ought to be to please God. Get to know God. Become like Jesus Christ. Become more like Him this year than I was last year at this conference. Another area is not making it a priority. Mark 4:19. Making it unfruitful. If it's not the priority in our life, other things choke it out. You know, we looked a while ago, 2 Timothy said it's profitable, but it's got to be a priority. We got to say, this is a commitment I'm going to make. I'm going to spend time alone with God every day. And then another thing that will be a real hindrance to an effective quiet time is sin. Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear when I pray. So, sin is a real hindrance to having an effective quiet time, since God's not going to hear what we say. Some practical suggestions. Make a commitment. Make a commitment about having a time alone with God each day. I think this is the most important principle that we're going to look at in this whole workshop today. If every man that didn't raise his hand a while ago that he's having a quiet time would make a commitment to begin that practice and to carry it out from now on, this would be a successful workshop. You know, when eternity rolls back, the men that say, it was at that workshop, at the Key Man Conference, that I made a commitment, I think we'd also see that it was at that time that their life became to really become effective in the kingdom of God. So this is the most important thing. Make a commitment. Share it with another person. Be accountable to someone. Be accountable to someone. Tell them what you've decided, what you determined, this commitment you made, and have them check up on you 2 weeks from now, and 6 months from now, and 6 years from now. How are you doing on your quiet time?
John, you know this verse, Psalm 5:3. You know, when you're talking to someone about having a quiet time, and he wants to, the verse that I usually pray for is Psalm 5:3. My voice shall cry here in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and look up. And I mention this person by name.
Mm-hmm.
He will say that when he goes to bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
So keep you on schedule.
You bet. Intercessory prayer. If you're too busy to spend time with God, then you're too busy. Luke 5:15 and 16. Let's all turn over to that passage. Luke 5. This is something that has... First time I saw this, I was shocked, but it's always fascinated me. Talking about Jesus, it says, but the news about him was spreading even further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses, but he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. You know, and Jesus had before him ministry, fruitfulness, service to God, or time with God. He had the multitudes coming to him. They were following him everywhere, wanting his attention. You know, if most of us in this room had the multitudes follow us around, wanting us to hear us teach the Bible, well, we'd be excited. Yeah, we'd be excited about that. But Jesus, he often slipped away from that, so that he could get back and spend time with God. Yeah, a man involved in ministry can't just give and give and give and give and give. He's got to take as well. There has to be a balance in that. He has to take so that he's got something to give from. Ministry is the overflow out of our life. You know, ministry is not me saying, I got to teach on quiet time at the conference. Let me see what can I do. That's not ministry. Ministry is I want the Word of God built into my life. I want a fellowship with Jesus Christ. I want to know Him. And out of that overflows ministry. So, I like, as far as the time, I like in the morning. And I'd strongly suggest that you start your day out with God. Now, it does not work for everybody, you know, and yet we're not setting rules and regulations here. We're trying to lay some principles out for people. So you have to determine what's best for you. For me, I like to start my day out with God. It's like putting on the armor before you go out to fight the battle. It's like an army getting its marching orders before it goes out to fight. It sets the tone for the whole day. When I spend time with God every morning, it just sets the tone for the problems and the things that are going to happen during the coming day. It's like a football team that exercises and warms up before it plays the game. And I've got a 15-and-a-half-year-old son. He's on the District 3A state championship team this year, and I followed him every Friday in get it in any bookstore. I really like that because it took a small portion of Scripture. You know, I wasn't trying to read through the Bible in a year. I do that at night when I do that in the bathtub. My quiet time is just a small portion of Scripture, so just something to get me in touch with God. Get me going. Get me started. And so take a small little passage of Scripture in this plan and you read it. Some kind of approach. There are all kinds of different things that you can use. I've spent several years using Oswald teaching, preaching in our church. Proverb. Some people use that plan for a while. One proverb a day. There's 150 psalms, so five psalms. Five psalms and one proverb a day. Any kind of thing that will keep you on track, keep you going. Prayer list. I like to use a prayer list for people that we are involved with. Pray for their needs. And pray for the various things. You know, the Bible talks about us praying for our governing authorities and kings and all that kind of. One day I pray for those kind of things. You know, other days I pray for certain people. One day I pray for family members. But it's real helpful to keep a prayer list. It's real helpful to keep a notebook. To reveal, write down, jot down what God speaks to you about out of the Word, but also your prayer request and when that thing's answered. Because, you know, if you're probably just like me. You have a tendency to forget how many prayers God answers. And if you keep a little journal, things you've prayed for and date it, and then when you see those things happen, go back and write that down and date when God answers that. That's a real encouragement to you. When you get a little bit down, you know, and you're dragging a little bit, and go back and read what God has done as a result of your spending time with Him, pumps you right back up and you're ready to go again. Last you to the next NAV conference, probably. Keep you on track. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 22. And we're just going to take a few minutes here. We've got a few minutes, I think. Yes? Usually I have more to say than time to say it. I always have too much material. So this is the exception. Luke 22, I want you to look. We're going to just have a simple quiet time. As far as the part about being in the Word of God. I want you, each one of you, to take and look at these four or five verses here and look for principles in here about quiet time. There are at least four. You may find others. But take about 5 minutes and go down through this passage looking for principles of a quiet time, and then I'll let you share what you discover. Okay, everybody about finished with that? I love these workshops. They tell you they're going to give you 5 minutes and then give you two. You know. Let's look at Luke 22. If someone would read 39 through 42 for us, please.
And he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you might not enter in, or may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thine be done.
Okay. All right, who has a principle for a quiet time that they find out of this passage following Jesus' life? Larry.
A set time to pray.
Okay, a set time to pray. All right. Someone else.
Habit, custom, routine.
All right, as was his custom, as was his practice, it was the discipline in his life. Okay?
Say he did it alone, he withdrew by a stone's throw beyond.
God alone with God, by himself, him and God.
I'd say a set place.
The place. Says he came to the place. As was his custom, the place.
He had reverence for God. He knelt down.
Right. Reverence for God. He knelt and began to pray.
He
prayed to God. He prayed to God the Father.
And he sought his Father's
will. Sought his will. Beg your pardon?
He surrendered his own
will. Surrendered his own will. Right, okay, good. Anybody else see anything in that passage?
Prayer time to avoid temptation.
Uh-huh.
Despite the fact that he understood God's sovereignty and acknowledged the sovereignty, he still asked.
Okay.
The boldness to approach the throne of grace, knowing that it's the throne of grace, but yet we approach it to ask.
Okay, good. Why could he do that? Where did he get that boldness?
He had a relationship.
All right. Came from the relationship. We have a relationship with God, don't we? Once we've been born again. Okay. Anything else? See in that passage.
The disciples followed him.
Okay. The disciples followed this example for other people. Good.
All right.
I'd like to just close by just I'd like to just tell you how I have my quiet time, and perhaps this might be helpful for you. I start by, when I get up in the morning, I go in, take care of my personal needs, get ready, get dressed, and then I go into, I have an office, a study, really not an office, I have a study. And oftentimes my quiet time is there, depending on time of the year. Other times, when it's cold, that room doesn't really have a heater back there and no insulation. It gets real cold. And so other times of the year, in the winter, I'm usually in the living room on the couch, or I have a chair there in front of the furnace. And I start my time by going to the Word first, and I'll read through the Bible, whatever I'm going to do for that day, a chapter or a few verses or Oswald Chambers or whatever it is. I cover that kind of stuff. By this time, my wife has gotten up and she's in the kitchen cooking, and at some point she'll call breakfast. And whenever she calls breakfast, I leave and go in, and I take my memory verses. I have 8 stacks that I review my verses on a daily basis. And as I eat breakfast, I'll review those verses for that day. And it'll take me a little bit longer to review the verses than it will to eat the breakfast. And so by the time I'm through with the verses, then I'll get back up and I'll go back in to my place and finish up with wherever I'm at, usually the prayer or whatever. And I found that that's real helpful for me, because it keeps me on track. Because I've got those memory verses lined up on my desk in a column there of 8 stacks, and I've got to get through those things. And I've got this that I've got to cover in my quiet time, that my Bible reading. And I've got my prayer list that I use for each day of the week. And so I have those things that are helping me, keeping me going. And I usually try to take a pretty small portion of Scripture. Now, when I come in the evening, usually eat supper, and then I'll take a bath, and I read my Bible while I'm in the bathtub. That's about the only place in the house at that time of the night that's quiet. And that's when I read through the Bible in the year. Those are 2 separate things for me. My quiet time here, my reading through the Bible. That starts my day out with God, and that's the end part of my day, finishing up with God as well. And so that I found that to be real helpful for me, and that's kind of how my quiet time has evolved through the years to where I am now. Does anybody have any questions or any comments, anything that you'd like to share, perhaps about the way you do it?
John, I have a passage for discipline. It's Hebrews 12:10. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and of peace for those who have been trained by it.
Afterwards it produces. That's right. That's right. Okay, anybody else have a question or comment?
You know, bearing fruit, all fruit is excess nourishment. I've heard a lot of people, all different places, talk about chicken fruit and that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, it turns out the only way to bear fruit is to eat a whole bunch of it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Thank you.
John, I don't know how many guys in here have to travel or drive a lot for their jobs. I do. And I found that driving time is real helpful to either review verses or pray. Having a quiet time in my truck.
Yeah.
I mean, I spend hours on the road, and I can either do that listening to the radio, or I could spend it reviewing the scriptures and talking to God.
You bet.
It's a whole lot better spent.
It's called redeeming the time.
Yep.
Redeeming the time. Taking that wasted time and making it count for the kingdom of God. We had a guy in Bible study one time that was just kind of a new believer. He was a new believer. And we had a men's group that met out at the hospital for a couple of years. And he changed jobs during this period of time, and he was traveling about 75 miles back and forth to go to his new place of employment. And he got to memorizing scripture, and he would take on a 3x5 card, and he would put that up on the dashboard of his car, and he had a little thing built there that it would slip down in and had it assembled there. And he come back, he had memorized more verses of scripture in a, you know, just a short period of time, because he was redeeming the time, making that count.
God is faithful, for whom you've been called into a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9.
That's right. That's right. Well, guys, I've enjoyed being with you this morning. I hope you've received something from it that you can take from here and apply back home. The little track, 7 minutes alone with God, is there at the back. If you would like to have one of those, you're welcome to it. And you're dismissed.